Welcome to Minute 81 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a wild trip through the 1987 John Hughes comedy, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Travis Bowe of Real Comics Heroes, Marvel Events Timeline, and obviously the Watchman Minute, which is similar to what we do here. So welcome to the show, Travis.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit during the week, but this was actually Travis's first time seeing this movie, so we're gonna get some really good insight, hopefully. We'll get someone's, you know, the perspective of someone who's watching this with completely fresh eyes. So that's great. You know, I personally saw this movie the first time 35 years ago, so I could not tell you what I really thought of it when I first saw it, which. You know, that's one of the things that always bothers me about movies is you can't relive the experience of seeing it the first time. You know, it's sort of a sad story, but I remember hearing, maybe it was about a year ago or something like that, that someone told the story about that their father had some sort of sickness that he kept, forgetting things. And so they would constantly reshow him The Empire Strikes Back just to see his reaction every single time that, you know, Luke finds out that Darth Vader is his father.
Wow.
Which, again, it apparently it was his father's favorite movie. So, you know, to be able to – no one wants to be in that situation, obviously, but it's still
– Yeah.
You know, it gives me goosebumps to think about it, but it's the idea that you know, when you see a movie so many times, on the one hand – you can enjoy it even more because you see it more in detail. You're looking at little things that you didn't before, like when you're doing it movies by minute. But on the other hand, something is missing from it because, you know, you don't have that first time experience type of thing. But what can you do? That's the way it is. And that's the way as they say, that's the way the cookie crumbles cookie wise. You ever hear that phrase?
Oh yeah.
From The Apartment with Jack Lemmon.
Oh.
Yeah. That's where that phrase comes from.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So minute 81 begins with a truck driving down a snow-covered road and ends with Neil and Del parting ways once again. You know, they do that numerous times throughout this movie. And this is just another one of those moments where they get to part ways. So on Friday, we basically ended things with Del finding them a ride to Chicago. You know, we know that they're stuck somewhere. If you pay attention to what we talked about in the script, so we know that they're actually in Wisconsin. You know, they're at Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. That's where they were. Obviously, the shots that we talked about last week all took place in Woodstock, Illinois. But, you know, so you have the trip from Oconomowoc. There you go. Maybe I got that right. I'll try not to say it too much. I don't know.
Sounds close enough. Yeah.
Exactly. So they have to get there from there to Chicago, and Del is able to get them a ride in a truck that is filled with cheese that on the side it says the Ashkenagen truck, which is not a real name of a company. And, you know, they're stuck in the back of that refrigerator truck throughout their journey. So one of the first things I did was to actually try to map out what's the distance from Oconomowoc to Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay, so I looked, obviously, where do you look for these things? You look for them on Google. And what I found is that the distance is 119.2 miles, and it usually takes around 2 hours, depending on which route you go. They suggest three different routes that you can take. You know, you can go either I-41 south to I-94 east, or you can somehow take I-94 straight. I don't know. I don't know enough about the geography in Wisconsin to tell you, because Oconomowoc is close to Milwaukee. You know, I don't know the exact distance it is from Milwaukee, but it's almost a 2 hour drive from Chicago. And then the third option is taking the Wisconsin 83 south to I-94 east. You know,
it's in the movie, is it supposed to be that they're going from Wisconsin?
Well, this is the thing.
In the previous scene.
Okay, so yes and no. Because the trooper that pulls them over, you can see that he has on his shirt, there is a sign that says that shows the state of Wisconsin as a state trooper. But it's not mentioned in the movie itself. Now, the original movie, and first of all, the original script is 160 pages, which is extremely long for a comedy. Okay. The movie is 93 minutes, the final cut. How long do you think the first cut was? Give a wild guess.
You said it was 160 pages, so yeah, I mean, probably close to, 2 hours?
It was 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Jeez. Okay.
John Hughes was able to make a 3 hour and 45 minute movie from this script. He filmed everything in the script, which is one of the reasons why every day I go through the differences in the script. This week we'll have some large chunks also. Okay. There are days where we'll have nothing, and there are days where we'll have large chunks. So there are a lot of subplots that were cut out. There's a whole subplot, which, you know what, I'll wait and spring that on you later this week when we get to it.
There's one that I can probably guess, but yeah, we'll get there.
Okay. And there's basically, in the editing process, they were able to cut out basically an entire movie. Think about it. They cut out 2 hours and 12 minutes, 2 hours and – no, 2 hours and – I guess around two hours and 13 minutes or something like that. Or no, 212 hours. Oh, sorry. 2 hours and 12 minutes. So there you go. Die Hard. You know, they cut Die Hard out of this movie. That's actually quite interesting.
Man. I'm floored by how would they end up in Wisconsin? They were coming from St. Louis, you know, at the start of, not the original journey, but.
Right. Well, in the script, Del just wasn't paying attention and Neil was sleeping or whatever, and they somehow got to Wisconsin.
Gotcha. Okay. You know, that makes sense.
That's what basically happened. You know, it doesn't mention where the El Rancho is, you know, where the motel was. It's possible that the motel, when they were already at the motel, it was a problem because there is a sign that says, I think that there are 102 miles from Chicago when the car is burning. But it doesn't tell you where they are. So they theoretically could have been somewhere else, you know, in a different direction. Don't know. But the bottom line is that in the movie itself, they don't mention it.
Right.
You know? But if you think about it, it's taken them a hell of a long time to get to Chicago from St. Louis. You know, I think I plotted it out. It's like a 5 hour drive or something like that. And it took them a day and a half, you know, just between St. Louis and, you know, because let's put it this way. They left St. Louis. They left the airport in St. Louis. Let's say it was still light, and since sunset was probably around 4:30 at that time in on November 25th, 1987. I figured it out. I right now can't remember from my notes exactly when it was, but that's basically, you know, it's something that's definitely takes a lot longer. Than what they did. So I don't know.
I noticed that at the start of the minute, the truck that we see is on, you know, there's a sign for US Route 26.
Yes.
That this truck's traveling on. I did look that up.
Ooh, okay.
And that route.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
The US Route 26, it stretches 1,485 miles from Ogallala, Nebraska to Seaside, Oregon. So, you know, it's not I don't think that they're traveling on that real road for this movie. I don't know how they would end up in Nebraska.
Are, because there is a Route 26 on – it's a state highway 26 in Wisconsin. So
maybe a different road then, because
it's a different road for sure. But what it comes down to, I was going to bring this up in a few minutes anyway, but there's no way that they were on that road either, because that road starts in Oshkosh. Mm. That's the north end of Oshkosh where it hits Route I-41, which is one of the ones I mentioned where you need to take it. So it wouldn't make sense that the truck would be traveling there.
Yeah. But,
you know, so, but whatever, it's fun. You know,
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. There's snow on the ground also. In real life, there wasn't snow.
Right.
On November 26th, 1987. Yeah. You know, that's one of the things they got wrong here. You know, we've discussed over the course of these minutes, there are things that they get right and things they get wrong when they're, you know, trying to predict the future.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing with the weather. There was no snow in any of the cities that they traveled to. Thanksgiving 1987.
Yeah.
But they got the football game right. When they were talking about check out those Bears. Or how about them Bears? They apparently really had a great they had a great season, but they also had a great they had a great game earlier that week. So it's fun to think about it from that perspective.
But I mean, it's conceivable that there would definitely have been snow at this time of year
sure.
in and around all the locations
sure.
that they go to.
For sure. Yeah. But also, I mean, one of the big problems they had with production of this movie was finding places with snow, because they were chasing after the snow, because they were filming this in the spring. So they had to find, it was like the late spring that they were filming, so they had to find places with snow or create fake snow for it.
Okay.
But again, in reality, in our universe, we could talk about parallel universes, right? So in our universe, there really was no snow on the ground in Chicago or Wisconsin on that day. But apparently in this parallel universe where Neil and Del are traveling on Route 26, which again, in our parallel universe doesn't work, but maybe in theirs it does. You see? Hey, this is great to be talking to a comic book person about, you know, parallel universes with plane trains and automobile.
Yeah.
You know, most people wouldn't go there.
Right.
So basically, yes, we see the truck traveling down Route 26. And I like the way that they change the music. They give us like this happy type music at this point, making us believe that, okay, everything is now set. Everything's going great.
And yeah, it's real good jaunty travel music.
Yes, completely.
It does make you feel hopeful. Like this is the final leg of the journey. They're almost at the finish line or whatever. So
yeah,
it really works.
Yeah, for sure. No question about that. And then we get a few shots of the truck traveling on different roads. It's first on that, you know, Route 26, and then we see it on a highway that is, you know, a regular, I guess you could say it's a U.S. highway. It's an I highway, you know, as we mentioned earlier. And then we also see that the truck gets to Chicago, and you see a big sign, you know, for the Chicago Loop.
Yeah.
Okay, there's the exit for the Chicago Loop. Now, what do you know about the Chicago Loop? Do you know anything about it?
Not really. I'm in Indianapolis, so just one state over from Illinois and Chicago, and we have it's called 465, and it's a big loop that goes around the city. I don't know if it's a similar thing here. Big interstate that circles the city.
But. Right, but the Chicago Loop is actually not an interstate. The Chicago Loop is actually the trains. It's the you know, it's used to be known as the Union Loop. And it's a 1.79 mile circuit of elevated rails that forms the hub of the Chicago L system. And apparently they say that there's just about 75,000 people that use it every day. I mean, that's just amazing. Wow. That the number of people, you know, and the reason that it's known as a loop is because it loops around a rectangle formed by Lake Street, Wabash Avenue, Van Buren Street, and Wells Street. So there's basically, you know, you have these four streets, and it's a loop that goes and apparently you can travel both ways on it also. You know, the train can go either way. I mean, it was actually built by Charles Tyson Yerkes around in the late 1800s, and they finally completed it in 1900, and you know it became pretty popular for people to use. I mean, again, they're still using it today, so. You know, not
good
as much People like their cars more these days than they did back then, apparently, but still,
Sure.
there's still plenty of people using it. And the L system in Chicago is able to take people to the outskirts, to the different suburbs and stuff like that, which is what comes into play, which we'll talk about during the course of this week. But it will make it to it goes to the suburbs of Forest Park, Oak Park, Evansville, Wilmette, Cicero, Rosemont, and Skokie. If anyone's heard of any of those places, I've heard of a few of them, even though I'm not from Chicago, but I've heard of Skokie and Oak Park. Oak Park, I think was I think they that was Adventures in Babysitting. I think they were from Oak Park,
Okay.
Illinois. There's no Shermer here, which
Yeah.
No John Hughes reference there.
I think I've taken a train from, I want to say it was from Lincoln Park. It's kind of one of the South Chicago suburbs. So, but I've
It's
been to
possible.
Chicago a few times, but.
I can't even remember the last time I was in Chicago. It's been decades for sure. But I've been there, but I probably didn't ride on the L. So then basically we see another sign that it's an ad for Delta, where it says Fly Delta. Now, one of the things that I find about this movie is that in general, because of everything they say and what happens, on all of the different types of transportation that they use, they don't use real names. And this is, they actually let us see an ad for a real airline. So it's Fly Delta. And so, I mean, Delta is now one of the largest carriers in the US. Okay. It has 5,400 flights every day, has 325 destinations in 52 countries over six continents. They have nine hubs. Right. So we got the main ones in Atlanta. And then there's a whole bunch of other ones. It started in 1925. It was it used to there someone had an aerial dust cropping operation called Huff Dahlin Dusters, and they then changed it into it was bought up by C.E. Woolman, who became the first CEO of Delta. And they incorporated it as an airline in 1928, and it was named after the Mississippi Delta region. Now, I didn't know that. Never even thought about the fact of where it would, where the name came from. It's just, there's
Sure.
a lot of things that the names just stick, and we're talking almost 100 years now. You never even think about where the name actually came from.
Yeah.
And so, and
The thing that
it's grown a lot. It's taken over a number of different airlines over the years. Took
Sure.
over Northeast, took over Western Airlines, and it acquired all of Pan Am's routes when Pan Am went under, or went belly up, I guess you could say. And they actually went bankrupt at one point in 2005, and they were able to still fend off a hostile takeover from U.S. Airways. And then a year later, they took over Northwest. So, I mean, it's just amazing how they've survived after all these
Yeah.
years. And throughout the course of their history, they've had 13 fatal accidents, with 299 passengers and crew having been killed in any of these accidents, and 14 people on the ground. So, yeah, they have an interesting history.
Sure.
And then the shot continues, and we get to see all the skyscrapers in the distance of Chicago. Don't worry, I'm not going to go into all the skyscrapers that are there. I don't know Chicago that well to be able to point out which one of them are. And then the shot changes, and we see Del and Neil standing on the platform at the and we see a big sign behind them saying LaSalle Van Buren. That's the train stop that they're at. which is located at 121 West Van Buren Street. And it's close to the Chicago Board of Trade, the Chicago Board Options Exchange, and the Metropolitan Correctional Center. So,
can we go back to the skyline?
Yeah, sure.
Chicago, real quick.
Yeah, of course.
It's like right around second 22. You get this shot of the truck heading into Chicago, and mm-hmm. then yeah, you see the skyline, the buildings, and it struck me that the buildings are definitely a matte painting because there's just a hazy quality about them, which, you know, with a city, you could, you know, say, yeah, maybe it's you know, foggy or whatever, but there's, you know, you get a really decent view of it and you can definitely see that this is all painted. And then if you look at the snow that's piled up on either side of the interstate, that is all a painting as well. And I started looking more and more at this, and I think the only thing that is real is the oncoming and outgoing highway, the road, the cars. Those are real. I think everything else is painted. The Chicago Loop sign might be real, but I think the overpass that it's attached to, that they drive under, I think is fake as well.
Wow.
I'm guessing that they didn't have a snowy day of this. So they probably took a real, you know, real footage of this and just painted snow and hazy weather over the top of it.
Wow.
Is my guess. So I think, like, if you look in the distance, you got some rooftops that are covered in snow. So I think it's just kind of a blending of a real footage and a matte painting. So it was. Yeah,
that's amazing. I mean, I wouldn't even notice that. I mean, you're an artist, so you know these things better than I do.
Well, it was just the building, the skyline gave it away, and then I saw the snow, and that was for sure, like, painting. You can just kind of see the edges of it are just not detailed enough, and then we start kind of looking around. It's like, yeah, I think there's a lot of painting in this image. So,
wow.
I mean, it's well done, you know. But.
Well, it fooled me.
I tried looking up who the matte painting, you know, person would have been on this film. I couldn't find any information on that. So.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Wow. Okay. Thank you. That's really insightful. Now you have to go back and look at the rest of the movie and tell me what else is painted on.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay, now we'll go back to Del and Neil standing at the train stop. Now, one of the things that I found very interesting about this particular train stop, you know, the LaSalle Van Buren stop, is that it's actually featured in two other famous movies, this particular stop. So have you ever seen the movie Running Scared with Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines?
No.
So they play these two Chicago cops who are tracking down a drug dealer. And so, you know, they actually have a scene. I now can remember the scene. I actually saw the movie like a month and a half ago again. So there's that. And there's also a blaxploitation movie from the 70s called Three the Hard Way, which has a scene that takes place there. So, you know, found that a little bit interesting. So basically the two of them are start having a conversation. And then Del says to Neil, "Believe this." Neil responds, "It's been a hell of a trip." "It sure has." And then Neil says, "But after all is said and done, you did get me home, and I really appreciate it." So, first of all, I you know, Neil is standing there with his hands in his pocket. He seems like he's nervous, the fact that he's actually, you know, giving Del this compliment. You know, that he's not 100% ready to do this type of thing. You know, but what I like about this is you really can see the character arc of Neil, how much he's changed, and you can also see how their friendship has changed. You know, even just the fact that last night the two of them were sitting in the motel, you know, just talking over what was it, Doritos and little bottles of booze.
Yeah.
You know, their friendship became more intact through that, you know, after all of the things that they've gone through over the previous, you know, over these this entire trip. You know, finally something has solidified here. So I like the way that they did that. You know, there's just little this little scene and the way that you see how Neil is fidgeting. You know,
Yeah.
he's comfortable but uncomfortable at the same time. That type of thing.
Yeah, I think it's he knows that they're about to part ways. I think he's anxious to, complete his journey, and I think he's a little bit relieved when the train finally starts to roll up behind him.
Yeah, completely. And then Dell says to him, "Hey, next time, let's go first class, all right?"
Yeah.
And then Neil starts laughing and says, "Oh God, I hope there isn't a next time." And Dell responds, "I know what you mean. I really do." And one of the things I like is you can look around and you can see that there are like these billboard ads around them. And I tried checking out if they're real, and it turns out that they're all fake. You know, there's one
Really?
that says, "Bring down the House of Stuart." I wasn't able to find online any reference to that besides, you know, you do House of Stuart and you get the whole British monarchy. So that's the only thing I found. It's possible that it was something at the time that has since closed down. And then they also have a sign there for American West Airlines where it says the Sun Run. So it's pretty funny because the two cities that you can get flights to are either Tucson or Phoenix. So I guess, or that are in the ad. You know, you can get for either
Yeah.
$98 to Tucson or $85 to Phoenix. But from what I found out, those are pretty much fake also.
Well, the airline was real. The
American West
American.
Airlines was real in 1987.
Yeah, I actually looked him up for, I think maybe the next minute, there's a good shot where I think it's just Dell there by himself,
Right. Yeah.
and
You see
you
that
see the
later.
full
Yeah.
banner, and it clearly says like America, is it America West
American
Airlines?
West. American
Yeah.
West.
They were around from 1981 to 2007.
Oh,
And
wow.
then
Okay.
they got went through bankruptcy and all that and got bought up eventually by American Airlines.
Oh, wow. Okay. See, I guess I missed that when I looked for it. I didn't, you're right. You are definitely right. So I stand or sit corrected. I wonder if that was actually their slogan. You know, the Sun Run.
Probably for that flight that they were advertising. If you want to take a flight from either O'Hare or Midway to probably O'Hare,
Right.
from there to
Tucson or
Arizona, yeah, I
Phoenix.
mean,
Yeah.
yeah.
Right. Okay. Cool. And then Dell quickly changes the subject, and you know he's also feeling a little uncomfortable here. And then they see the train approaching, and he goes, "This you?" And then Neil responds, "Yep." And that's pretty much how this. Then they you know look each other over that they're about to you know part ways once again, and that's how this minute ends. You know, so do you have anything else you want to say about this particular minute before we get into the script and other stuff?
I like the kind of the wide shot when it's just the two of them standing on this platform, and you just get a look at I really like the contrast in Neil with he only has the clothes on his back, and
Yes.
then
And Dell's got everything.
Dell, Hermit Crab Dell, where he just takes everything with him. He just lives out of this trunk. So yeah, I
Yeah.
just really like the way they both have finished this journey, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Which is funny because, you know, as we know, Dell doesn't have anything else and
Yeah.
Neil does. So it's like it's not that big of a deal that Neil has lost stuff and needs to get new stuff. You know, but if Dell were to have to get new stuff, it would be much different. It would
Yeah.
be a completely different story. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I like that shot also. I think it's great seeing the contrast between the muscle and they both still have their coats. You know, and the contrast between the dark blue or sorry, the bright blue winter coat
Parka, yeah.
that the parka, there you go. That Dell has and the you know, basically Neil's coat doesn't look that warm.
No, but it also doesn't look like it looks like wear your dad's clothes to school day. That jacket or that coat looks so big on him.
Yeah.
And I know that's they're meant to be big, but he just looks like he's just lost in that huge coat.
Yeah.
But that was kind of the style.
Yeah, that's true. Right. So the script, we actually have a few extra scenes in this particular minute that were completely cut out of the final cut. So first of all, you have when the semi gets to Chicago, it pulls up into a loading dock. And then we end up finding out that they didn't get a free ride. Basically, Dell made a deal with the guy that they would help unload all of the, sorry, not help, that they would unload all the stuff. So like the driver comes over to them and says, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee. You jokers start unloading. And then you get like Neil's reaction to the whole fact that, you know, he wasn't expecting it. And then Dell turns to him and goes, nothing's free in this world. You're in the advertising business. You ought to know that.
I like that. I kind of wish that would have been in there because it makes sense that their journey, they'd need to work, you know.
Yeah, but on the other hand, they reached a point in the story where they're trying to show, okay, everything now is good between the two of them. And to add something else might have been too much, you know.
Yeah.
And then Del goes, it won't take long. This is nothing. I once had to wash out a cement truck. I'll let you operate the forklift. You ever operate a forklift? It's a kick. And then they show another shot of you see a black and white TV watching a football game. And then, you know, Dell and Neil come to the doorway. And Dell says to the driver who's sitting there with the dock worker watching the football game, you know, he goes, we're out of here. The driver goes, oh, you're already done? He goes, yep. And then Neil goes, how much time is left in the game? So the driver goes, fourth quarter is just about to start. So Dell goes, you're home, it's in the bag. What is one of the things that they were talking about earlier that Neil promised to be home before the end of the football game. So that's something. But since they cut that out, it didn't really need to, you know, to be in here. And then they have something very interesting, which is something that I I've always wondered. You know, first of all, they have the two of them take the trunk up the stairs of the L platform. You know, struggling to lift it up the whole way. And then Dell reaches into his pocket and removes the last of their money. Now, as far as we knew, they didn't have any money left. So I was always wondering, how does Neil pay to get on the train? Mm. You know, he gave all of it. What he gave, what was it, $17 and a really nice watch. He didn't have anything else. So where's he buying his tokens from, you know? And then so this little scene shows that Dell says that he'll pay for the tokens. And then he asks Neil, where does he need to go? And he goes, I need to go to Wilmette. So Dell then goes and shuffles over to the ticket window. And then, you know, at this point, Neil starts brushing himself off, you know, to make himself feel a little more presentable for what he's doing. And then there's a slight discrepancy with the rest of the conversation between them. Because then it goes back to the conversation, but it's a lot shorter than what we have in the movie itself, where Dell basically says, next time we'll try to go for a little more comfort and style, as opposed to saying we'll go first class. That's the slight difference. And then there's one other slight difference when Dell asks, this you? And so in this original script, it actually says, this is you. As opposed to, he's not asking the question, he's making a statement. He's stating a fact. Okay, here's your train. Which, if they're feeling very uncomfortable, that actually works better. You know, by saying, oh, here's your train. As opposed to saying, is this your train? You know, so. Yeah. I mean, slight differences, nothing that really.
Both of them work to just fill the uncomfortable silence.
Yeah. Completely.
And as far as, like, the money goes, I kind of got the impression that Dell was running the shower ring earring grift like throughout the journey. So even though they must have needed to. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because he didn't have that much money left. You know, I'm trying to remember how much he offered. What was it, $3 that he offered him or something like that?
Yeah, maybe two something or in the Casio.
Yeah. and a Casio. So every Monday, we have a segment called Martin Monday, where my guests will give their top five Steve Martin performances. So what have you got for us, Travis?
Number five, I'll go Sergeant Bilko. Okay. Then I will say the first half of The Jerk. No, I'll put that one higher. That one will come later. I'll say Three Amigos.
Okay.
That's one I grew up just loving. But I haven't, like Sergeant Bilko, I haven't seen it in decades now. So
now, what does that mean? It means you need to go rewatch it.
Yeah. Then I will throw in the Only Murders in the Building. I really like that newer show.
Okay. I still haven't seen that. I really know. I know I need to see it.
It's fun. And then in the number two spot, I will throw in this Planes, Trains, and Automobile, which leaves in number one the first half of The Jerk. I love the
well,
I love
I'm gonna
the
give
way
it full
that
credit,
movie...
even though it's only What's the that? First half. I said I'll give it full credit.
Okay.
Yeah.
It works out because I also have a half of movie later on for John Candy. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll only get there on Friday. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for that. So.
Yeah.
Every day we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, where either myself or my guest will give a little story about some adventure or misadventure that one of us have had over the course of the journey of life. So everyone gets another story from me today. So back in, I think I was still in high school. I was a senior in high school, and I was traveling. I grew up in Detroit, so I was traveling from Detroit to Indianapolis. And I think, if I remember correctly, it was a 6 or 7 hour trip. I went with a friend of mine. We were going to visit another friends for the weekend, another group of friends for the weekend. And I remember driving on the highway. I can't remember which highway it was. You probably know which highway goes from, was it like I-80 or who knows?
No, it'd be
94. Maybe it was I-94.
Yeah, 94. 31 would be a good road.
No, it wasn't 31.
Into Michigan.
It was a big one.
Okay.
No, because we were
69, we were, I think maybe, or 67, but
again, I don't remember. This is,
yeah.
We're talking about 31 years ago. Yeah. So I can't remember the exact, which highway it was on. That doesn't make a difference. Yeah. And I remember I'm driving down, you know, high school senior driving around, you know, I had a clunker, you know, going as fast as I could, you know, wanting to get to Indianapolis as quick as possible. And then there was this black sedan that just sped right by us. And they started honking and basically cursing us out and just flew right by us. And, you know, even today when people curse me out when I'm driving, I don't really care. I don't make a big deal out of it. You know, that's their problem, not mine. And then I like 5 miles down, we ended up seeing that car on the side of the road with smoke coming out of the engine. And it was such a great feeling.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's my little story. You know, it's a small little travel story, you know, where I guess someone got revenge. I didn't get the revenge, but you know, it was a great feeling.
I know that feeling, you know, you're wishing, you know, not harm to come from somebody, but yeah, when someone is just a real jerk on the road, you want them to get pulled over or yeah, something like that.
Exactly. And, you know, yeah. this comes close. He didn't get pulled over, but he had his problems. All right, great. So, Travis, you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. You can find me on Real Comic Heroes, and that's my my long-running podcast where we go through a big list of comic book movies, primarily comic book movies, that is. We also do stuff like, you know, Planet of the Apes and Star Trek and James Bond and other things, but primarily comic books, and we go in release order. We started with Superman and the Mole Men from 1951 and are moving towards the present. So as of this recording, we are in 1997. We just did some stuff from 96, like Mission Impossible and Star Trek Generations and Star Trek First Contact we just did. So stuff like that. Yeah, check it out. It's Real Comic Heroes, Real with two E's.
Oh, wow. So you're probably getting close to Steel.
Yeah, I think that's 98, maybe.
Yeah, it was that one's coming up. Yeah. Have fun with that one.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. Not a fan.
Never seen it, so I only know it by reputation.
All right.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one.
Yeah, and while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe to any podcast you might be using to listen to this show. And finding me is very simple. All you do is just a quick search for Movie Rob Minute, and you can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, or you can go to my website. So, Travis, you feel like coming back again tomorrow and talking a little bit more about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, we shall see everyone tomorrow, and until then, you're fucked.
You're fucked.